Now to Washington's famed revolving door. That's the term coined when members of Congress quit and then become lobbyists. Talk about the revolving door is around now because Senator Trent Lott announced his resignation yesterday. If he leaves by December 31st, he would be able to take a lobbying job after waiting just a year. But if he waits later than that, new rules would prevent him from lobbying for 2 years. The Center for Responsive Politics says this year is expected to be the biggest ever for lobbying in Washington. We're joined now by Sheila Krumholtz. She's director of the CRP. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So how common a practice is this for members of Congress to retire and then become lobbyists?
It's quite common. We've counted at least 153 members of Congress who are now working as registered lobbyists, and still more have remained in Washington to work in other jobs with the goal of influencing government policy, but not as registered lobbyists. So this is a lucrative opportunity. It's probably more common than not.
And when you say lucrative, what do you mean in dollar amounts?
Well, it's hard to know how much members of Congress can make as lobbyists, but they can easily double or triple their salaries by going through that revolving door. It's a hard opportunity to resist. For Senator Lott, he will, of course, be banned from lobbying for 1 year at minimum. But during that period, he will still be able to work for a lobbying firm as a rainmaker. He's got a name that can bring in clients, big clients.
So he could actually join a lobbying firm but not actively lobby per se?
Right. He could be in the new job lobbying his current colleagues by January 2009. Before then, he could work with lobbyists and advise them on how to pursue their strategies.
So really, what's the difference?
Well, that's a good question. It's really a technicality. He could be on the job sort of like a general commanding the troops from the rear.
He could advise one of his new colleagues at a lobbying firm and say, you should really talk to Senator X.
Absolutely. That's how it's done. And presumably a lot of these former members have personal relationships with current members. So they're, you know, still out on the golf course with them on the weekend and still, you know, having lunch on occasion. So, there, you know, it's the relationship continues, and that is what the clients are banking on.
Well, one famous or infamous name, Billy Tozen, he was a House member from Louisiana, and he went to work lobbying for big pharmaceutical companies.
That's right. Billy Tozen is the classic example. He left the House of Representatives after being instrumental in the passage of prescription drug legislation and almost immediately became head of the trade group that represents the drug industry in Washington. And some former members have negotiated their jobs while they were still in Congress. So this is kind of the way it works. They become instrumental on issues or for industries and jump to those industries when they leave Congress.
And this is a bipartisan issue, right? I mean, Democrats are also retiring and taking up lucrative jobs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There just happen to be more Republicans in the pipeline for potential future lobbyists. There are fewer Democrats retiring now that they're in the catbird seat. Whenever there's a power shift in Congress in particular, Washington goes through its own version of the NBA draft. People trade on their connections to score those plum jobs, and if you've delivered for the industry, all the better. And that makes for cozy relationships between government and private interests that affect the rest of us in policy.
Sheila Krumholtz is director of the Center for Responsive Politics. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.